So the exercise is basically to start working on the manifestation. And the best way to do that is to make a list with the things that you desire the most right now. It's good not to make a too big list, because it's much easier to pursue fewer things. And I mean, I would recommend that you put them in order of importance for you, because chances are, if you have something that is more important, it can actually raise your vibration more. It can give you more excitement. It can give you more passion. So the keys in this exercise is to get into a state which is as much excitement and passion as possible. So let's say you want to make an amount of money for something. You just write down or decide exactly what you want, and you imagine a time in the future when you actually receive what you want. You visualize what will happen. You hear any positive things from that experience. You feel everything, and you get in touch with your vibration, how you feel in the inside in that moment, in that present moment. You take that feeling, nourish it, and you drop the images. And you also drop expectations and attachments, and you keep the feeling. The more intensity, the better. However, it's great to also include relaxation. So if you have only excitement, sometimes you can get into anxiety. It's a fine line and a small line between excitement and anxiety. So it's important to keep it positive by making sure you also relax into those emotions. So it's easier and easier to keep those emotions, to keep those vibrations in the present moment for as long as possible. And of course, then we have module 3 that explains the process of continuity. Like I said in the first module, I believe that life itself happens for us, not to us. It's a tool, this reality. It's a reflection tool where we have an experience and we get to decide who we prefer to be. We came from nothingness into something, and this something is just a reflection of our core identity, who we are. And the universe cares first and foremost about infinity. If we would get results that are not deserved, long term, it will not work. Maybe we will be happy for a couple of lives, but we will become terrible people. So the universe is made like that for us to grow, for us to become abundant from the inside out, from us to become loved from the inside out, for us to be healthy. Maybe become is not the best word. Maybe be is even better, actually. To be healthy from the inside out. To be wealthy from the inside out. To be loved from the inside out. I can say that no amount of money can make a poor person from the inside feel wealthy. And no amount of affection received from the outside can make a person that doesn't feel love, that doesn't love himself, actually experience love. So the universe was not built by accident. There's nothing wrong with it. It was created by God, by the universe, in a perfect manner. God doesn't make mistakes. But of course, we want to escape the guilt, in a way, that we did something wrong or we are doing something wrong. We want to believe that we are perfect. There's nothing wrong with us, so to say. And it's not our fault. We want to escape the fault when we're doing something that is not the best action. So it's easy to blame the manifestation process, or it's easy to blame the universe for something that doesn't have a guilt, actually, doesn't have a fault. It's much better to take responsibility. Because when we take responsibility for our thoughts, for our emotions, for our actions, we can actually do something about it. So in a way, the process of continuity until you receive the results, until you receive the money, until you receive the love, until you receive the help, maybe, is one where, in a way, you have to do a lot of maintenance on yourself. Like I said, from the last module, you can use the morning and the evening to connect more and more with the energy of abundance that you prefer. Because the inside creates the outside, the reflection. And of course, during the day, you can start becoming more and more aware. You can start observing more and more what is on the inside. Emotions, thoughts, beliefs, which are just thoughts that keep on repeating, and the definitions that you create with that. The more and more you can observe something that is not aligned with the emotion of abundance that you prefer to have, the faster you can change everything from the inside out. You cannot change things from the outside with lasting effects. It doesn't work. So don't try to change things from the outside so much. I can give a perfect example. Until you learn how to love yourself, it's very, very hard to find love. But once you do learn how to love yourself, it's natural and it's easy to become a loving person, to know how to love others. Until you respect money, you appreciate money, but you don't become the slave to money, like some people become, where money controls you. Until you do that from the inside, you have the perfect abundance. You cannot say that you became a wealthy, a rich person, so to say, because the money controls you in one way or the other. But if you change your relationship from the inside, if you treat money with respect, if you appreciate money, if you understand the laws of money, and I mean, if you want, I can talk more about that. But basically, the most important thing is to feel in the present that you already are abundant when it comes to money and resources. That basically you have for what you need, you appreciate what you have, and more it will grow when you have a position like that and when you treat it with respect. Any questions so far, Sorina?
You said that manifestation is something like a delayed mirror effect. So we get the results of our manifestation later in life. So if I had bad thoughts until now, will I get bad energy first before the good energy that I'm just starting to manifest?
Usually, yes. And from a mechanical standpoint, the lower your vibration, the more delayed manifestation is into states of higher, so to say, emotions. I mean, you hear about sages, how they reached unconditional happiness or inner peace or nirvana as a word, right? I mean, you heard about like some people that were meditating until they got to a point where feeling nirvana. So with these people, the higher the vibration, usually the faster the results can come. However, and this is how the universe is built, the lower the vibration, in my experience, the slower the results come from that perspective. So you don't have to worry about the negative energy so much. Because I've seen some people worry about when they start becoming aware, like, yes, I'm manifesting all the time. But wait a minute, I'm having mostly negative energy right now because I'm having depression. I'm having, this is how my mind works. It gives me first the problems, blah, 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 blah. You don't have to worry so much about it for a number of reasons. The first reason is that usually negative manifestation is slower than positive manifestation. And the best tool that I am aware of for dealing with negative energy is to not act on it. When you experience negative thoughts, when you experience negative feelings, it's much better to do as little as possible. And of course, when you have relaxation, when you are feeling good, you can act on that. Because in a way, manifestation is complete with action. That's the component that the movie The Secret missed. It's not complete without action. And if you think about it, the manifestation is the reflection for the total being that you are. It's not like you're not only your thoughts, not only your emotion, but it's also your intention and exactly what is it that you do. So if you just have negative thoughts and feelings and you just allow it to, you know, allow the storm to take place, but you don't act on that, from my experience, you will be okay. You will be okay. However, if you start, for example, you become angry with somebody, right? And you call them like, ah, and you start complaining and you start, of course, there will be some problems with that, right? So you will experience the negative effects much faster. If you think about it, the wise people, what they do is before they have relaxation and peace of mind, they don't do many things. It's much more important to be in the state of flowing and then acting. You don't have to do so many actions, actually, than to not be in the state of flow and do a lot of actions, so to say.
So what do you mean by actions? Actions towards my goal?
Yes. Towards your goal or actions that you want to take. For example, I was in a period where I was dealing with a lot of difficulty and I was preferring to stay by myself. I mean, okay, I was in a position where I could afford not to do so many things. I was just observing, I was meditating, and I was just in a way neutralizing negative thoughts and energies. Because these are like storms. I mean, you can have moments and periods in your life where you receive a lot of those. It's much better to stay by yourself or only with supportive people and allow for this kind of period to go away, so to say, because it will go away eventually, than to just do a lot of actions when you experience something like that. Because your actions will actually complete the circle of manifestation. And, you know, a lot of bad things will actually happen. So when you don't feel in the right state of being, just stop. You can say something like, you can, for example, let's say you have to meet one person and you don't feel great or something. You know, you can talk with that person, say like, look, I'm not feeling well. I'm not saying just ignore everything. You can do small little steps, but don't have expectations of doing something big and succeeding when your internal state is bad. So as a priority, first get into the vortex, into a good vortex of energy. It's better to do actions when you're relaxed, when you feel good, when you can have passion. It's much better than to just do something because you have to do it. I mean, with some, okay, maybe there is no option, but still, those kind of actions, they don't require too much creative energy. I mean, if you have to do them, but don't expect something fantastic. Just do them and work, put your awareness on calming your state of being. Put your awareness on calming your thoughts. And don't start buying into negative thoughts and beliefs. Just observe, understand that, okay, this is just something that I'm experiencing because I'm passing through a storm right now, it's not the ultimate truth. Because once you start believing that the storm is the ultimate truth, then you affect the manifestation process in a negative way. And we don't want to do that, right? Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you. We have another question from our colleague, Andrei. He says, how can we stop comparing ourselves to others more accomplished, to other more accomplished people? Because this is why many people think that they have failed in life. I think this is the root of most of the poor thoughts.
Because the comparison is not fair. I mean, yeah, we compare ourselves to the richest people on earth. And in a way, they become like that for a number of reasons, but also because in a way of randomness, of luck. And I mean, it's not a fair comparison. It's not a fair comparison. I mean, I'm not saying that it's something so wrong to do, but the more mature and the more wise you become, the more you compare yourself to yourself. How I was and who I will become. Because in a way, you cannot have it all. You cannot be the best soccer player. You cannot be the best basket player and the best swimmer at the same time. You have to choose what you prefer. And we look very superficially at successful people. And I'll give you an example. Steve Jobs. He was very rich, very famous. However, I don't think he had a life that you could actually envy. He was working all the time. He had a lot of negative emotions. He had some very, very bad diseases. And he even admitted himself that he regrets focusing most of his life on working and on making money and stuff like that. There are a lot of people that sacrifice other aspects of their life just to be more rich. I mean, why should you compare yourself to that? And yeah, our society right now, it's very, very shallow in that way, because people tend to think that the more money has that person, the better off that person is, which is not really the case most of the times. Because you have to look at everything holistically. Even Elon Musk, he said, I mean, he's very wealthy, very rich, tens of billions of dollars. He will be probably 100 billion or something like that if he continues like that, even more, I don't know. And he said his life is not something to envy. He works like a madman. It's not something that you should be envious about, because you don't know exactly that the battles that everyone is going for. It's much easier to think that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And it's something in a way a bit stupid as well, because it's not very, very effective. You cannot really make a change. What's important is how you can become better. The best people in the world, they don't really compare so much with other people. They only compare themselves with themselves. So look about, I mean, appreciate yourself. Like, look how much more I learned, how much better I became, how much more abundant I am in areas. You know, it's much healthier to have a perspective like that than just to compare with other people, where, like I said, first and foremost, it's not a fair comparison. Why we don't compare to the problems that we have in the world? I mean, think about it. There are children in Africa that are still dying of hunger or of thirst. Why not make, in a way, that comparison and appreciate that we are so much better, and maybe try to help those unfortunate people? If we can, of course.
Well, I personally agree with the idea of always comparing with your past self. But let's say we're going through a tough time, like maybe we got a divorce or lost a job or lost some money. How do we, not sure how to phrase this. How do we proceed then? Because the comparison may not be what we want it to be.
Well, it takes some observation, some reflection. We have to connect with what is inside us. One of the most important phrases of all time is know thyself, know yourself. Like I said, circumstances don't matter, only your state of being matters. I mean, it's easy to feel depression when you go through something negative, like a divorce, right? I mean, yeah, how will I find another person? Like these negative thoughts, those attachments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But from my experience, almost always, when a door closes, another one that is better opens. If you can maintain yourself in a positive state of being. And I have examples like that in my life. And maybe you have. I mean, maybe we feel it will be the end of the world when you break up with a partner that you had attachments for. And then a few years later, you found a better person and you just forgot about it, if it makes sense. So in a way, it's important to understand and observe that what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and what those thoughts, in a way, tend to create as beliefs are not ultimate truths. The ultimate truth is that God loves you. That's an ultimate truth. Loves you unconditionally. So in a way, if God himself loves you unconditionally, why wouldn't you love yourself? Okay, you had a bad experience. You got somebody, for whatever reason, separated from you. That doesn't mean you are not a worthy of love person anymore. Maybe it's just that it was not the right person for you anymore at that time. Maybe you need a new person that is better off for you, that is better. Maybe from a place of depression, you can slowly go toward acceptance and peace and then toward excitement, because right now you'll be free, you'll have more time to meet a better person. I'm sure that person that you were with was not perfect, because if that person was perfect, by definition, probably you'll still be with them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Any other questions?
Well, I had a couple of questions about the exercise for module 2, about using the formula. Should I ask now?
Please.
So, first of all, I noticed that I had trouble focusing and had a lot of intrusive thoughts. Do you have any tips for focusing on the visualization or on the formula?
Well, when you have intrusive thoughts, it's better to stay in a position of neutrality, because your thoughts are determined by your state of being. And I can give you the best example. When you feel joyful, you usually have positive thoughts. When you feel depressed, you usually have negative thoughts. So the mistake that most people are having is that they identify themselves with the thoughts they're having. I'm thinking that, so I must be that. No, the brain is just a component of our core being. It's like another arm, in a way. Maybe a bit more important than an arm, because you cannot live a physical life without a functional brain. You can have a functional life, so to say, without an arm, but it's still spirit over matter. First and foremost, we are consciousness. We are the observer. God is the ultimate observer, and we are created in the image of that. The first quality of existence is to be. You are. It's a fact that you exist. It's a fact that you are conscious. So this is your ultimate level of identity, in a way. So don't think you are the mind. Know that you are the spirit. Know that you are, in a way, the ghost in the machine, first and foremost. And the mind, okay, may have some errors. Maybe it's not perfectly balanced because you are dealing with some negative energies, some negative emotions. There are things that are happening inside you. But this is what Buddhists were practicing a lot, to be able to be out of their mind. The mind is just a tool. There was a saying, the ego, which is in a way the physical, that's the identity of the ego. The ego, the physical mind, is a terrible master, but a wonderful servant. So the mind is there to serve you, not to be your master. It's there to use it when you want it to, not to interrupt you. Okay, maybe it has some bad habits. Maybe sometimes you have an anxious state and the mind, in a way, tries to help, but comes up with thoughts that are of lower vibration, are more negative. But you accept them. You don't take them seriously. That's the problem. You take them, those thoughts, seriously. You just have to allow them. Okay, so what else? It's like someone that doesn't have so much experience, in a way, coming with certain ideas. You look at it and like, okay, this will pass. You have to become the master of the mind. And you use the mind whenever you want to come up with ideas, maybe. Like myself, I'm out of my mind right now, and I'm allowing my mind to come up with the best ideas to transmit in this call. But I don't accept thoughts that are negative. I look at them, but I don't accept them as being part of my core identity. It's just the best effort that the mind, given the present resources, was able to find, to come up with. You're not mad with the mind, like you are not mad when you go to the gym and you cannot lift something that is heavier than you can lift. It's just a tool. If you work with it, you achieve amazing results in time. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So basically be an observer and remain consistent. I guess it will get easier with time.
Well, like I said, God is the ultimate observer. God doesn't have a reflection. So in a way, the more we can become observers, the more we get closer to God. For people who are very spiritual and want that. I think that's very important. I wanted to add some things about manifestation and about the cycles of manifestation. Because many times when you are in the presence of inside having abundance, sometimes still you'll have negative feedback from the universe. So you have an amazing vibration. You feel abundant from the inside. However, you still receive from reality things like that could frustrate you. Like, you know, okay, you have to pay this amount of money. You have this bill. You have whatever problem with money and stuff like that. Don't take these seriously, don't allow them to change your state of being. My belief is that, in a way, the universe gets rid of all this negativity and it still gives you some delayed reflections of the negative stuff. But it's very, very easy for some people that don't have experience to take this as, oh, so the universe just told me I'm poor, so I should feel poor. Oh, the universe just told me that I shouldn't be low, so yeah, I should feel, you know, hate for myself and some other stuff like that. So these, in a way, are like in a dream. When you have a bad dream, it's actually very, very good for your consciousness because you are able to release some of that negativity the easiest way, in a dream. When you have negativity as a reflection from physical reality, it's not ideal. It's much better to release that from the dream state, which is actually the template dimension, if you want. The template dimension. This is where, in a way, you enter causality, where you can actually, if you can wake up in your dream, and I mean, we can have in the future some discussions about it and some more content about that, you can become much faster and much more efficient with manifestation. But the lesson for today is that maybe you've been consistent with your vibration. Maybe, let's say you're in a point where you love yourself, and still the perfect partner or the perfect situation in your life when it comes to love doesn't occur yet. And yet you still have some reflections from the past that could, in a way, make you believe that you are not worthy of being loved. Understand, these are just some delayed manifestations. Maybe some people take these as tests. Like, you know, the universe tests me, but it's not made like that. It's not made like a test. It's just energy that is, in a way, ending a cycle from the past. So what is important is to allow the reflection to come forward and be in a state of understanding that the inside is what creates the outside. And the circumstance that happens doesn't really matter so much. Doesn't matter at all, actually. Your inside is of the present is what will determine what will happen. Is this something that makes sense?
Yes, it does. And I think it's actually a good way of thinking, to not lose hope that my manifestation is not happening immediately as many of us would like it to.
Well, I want to talk a bit about hope. Hope is one of the positive energies, but it's still on the lower end of the spectrum. Because hope, in a way, is not, it's lower than belief. When you have hope, it's like maybe something positive will happen. Belief is like, I believe it will happen, which is higher than that. Even higher than that is certainty, trust. I know it will happen. So hope is still positive, but it's not ideal. Certainty, knowingness is much better. So I'm not saying you don't appreciate hope. Hope is like you're in a position where you can get drowned and somebody throws at you a life vest. I mean, you take that, but you don't want to remain with that life vest. You want to get to the shore. You want to get to knowingness. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And I found what you said about levels of energy really interesting. Can we include maybe a chart or a graph of levels of emotions, of energy of each emotion?
There were some things like that, but honestly, I don't want to go so much into something like that, because everyone is unique and everyone is different. And I mean, I've been having dialogues with people and they were saying most of the time I'm in joy. Most of the time I'm in, you know, because we live in a society where it's very, very easy to try to pretend, you know, that you're someone who is who you're not, so to say. It's easy to pretend. I mean, we saw on social media how everyone is trying to pretend to be what they're not. And especially when it comes to energy states, it's very, very easy to pretend like, yes, I'm in inner peace 90-something percent of the time, or I'm in joy most of the time. It's so easy to say the words. I prefer, if you want to make spiritual progress, that the first focus and the first milestone, which would take a while actually, is peace of mind, inner peace. That's the most important. So I think if you want like a test, if you want like a, how do you say, like a comparison tool, where I am I in peace right now or not? During 24 hours, of course, when we sleep, you are usually in peace. But maybe you are active and awake 18 hours out of 24, or maybe more, maybe 16. How many of those hours, of those minutes, of those seconds, were you in peace or not? That should be the primary focus for somebody who wants to become a master at controlling their state of being, of controlling their emotions. Because peace is something that is, in a way, amazing. Because once you get to peace, once you get to peace, it's much easier to get to other levels. At this moment, I can say that I'm not in inner peace myself 100% of the time, although I've been meditating for the past years, most of my time. And I'm still not in a place where I can say, yes, I'm 100% of the time in inner peace. I still have some small little storms that I'm dealing with sometimes. But on a belief level, I am almost 100%. Almost. So if you want to make progress, if you want to accelerate, the most effective way is to look at peace and inner peace as a barometer. Is that helpful?
Yes, it is. I'll focus on that in the future. I'm sorry. Actually, what you said ties a little bit into my second question about the formula. To be honest, I had difficulties feeling the emotion of my visualization. So I was visualizing my goal. I knew what it meant. I knew it meant happiness, bliss, and I should feel excited, but I just couldn't feel it. I was not sure what the right word would be, like numb or nothing. What can I do to actually feel the emotion to go further with manifestation?
So the thing that you envisioned, was it something that you really wanted or not?
I believe so.
Why would you be prioritizing something that you don't really want?
Well, I do think I want it. I just couldn't feel the emotion of that.
You want, you know that you want. You think that you want, or you know that you want?
I know that I want. But I just said think because I couldn't feel the emotion. So I thought maybe there was a connection there.
Well, when you know that you want something, when you visualize, it's usually very, very simple and easy to feel excited about having it, about, you know, experiencing what you want. I mean, we can redo the exercise right now, if you want. So, I mean, maybe you can be more specific. Like, for example, we did it with Andrei with his car, if I remember correctly from the last call, right?
Right.
Andrei, you can confirm or not, you felt some excitement, right? Or not really, when you were visualizing that.
I'm not sure if he can answer, but I definitely remember him saying he felt excited.
Great. Let's move forward then. And pick something, maybe the one thing that you want the most, that makes you the most excited about.
Should I go with the same thing that I tried to visualize earlier? Or should I focus on another goal?
Don't focus so much on details. I mean, honestly, you shouldn't focus on details. You should know, like, look, Ciprian, what I want the most right now, what I'm excited about the most right now in my life is this. It's important to be honest with yourself. I mean, people go in life like, you know, my parents wanted me to be like that. My friends want me to be like that. My lover wants me to be like that. What is it that you want that makes you excited? That would be, you know, super nice and important for you.
Well, I mean, career-wise, I'm not yet decided. I'm actually at a crossroads of sorts. I mean, I know I enjoy what I do and I love what I do, but I don't see, I don't have a 5-year plan, so to say, or maybe, not sure. I don't see myself as a CEO, or I'm not sure. But what I did imagine was on the family side. So I'm imagining a beautiful house in a small village next to a big city. Maybe I thought too much about it. Maybe I'm putting too much thought into the details.
I feel that in a way, because you don't really believe that this could happen to you, was the problem with experiencing inciting. In a way, you made the exercise, but you didn't fully believe that it's something that could happen. So in a way, it has some disappointment attached to it. Was that maybe the case?
I think that that's it. I'm not, I mean, yeah, I guess that is. I'm not sure what the path to that is. So maybe that's what blocked me from actually feeling the emotion.
Well, honestly, the biggest problem, I think it's a great point that you're adding. It's a great point. It's a great thing that we explored it, because in a way, the biggest problem with experiencing manifestation is not necessarily the wanting part, because yeah, wanting adds information to the vibration that you are signaling into the universe, right? Wanting, because you want something, in a way you're excited that you will receive it. It's like, you know, you want an ice cream and you're excited. Yes, I'll go to the market and I will, you know, so, and I'll have an ice cream, you know, it will be so great. And that anticipation creates a lot of excitement, if it makes sense. So this is an important component, but most people don't have a problem with that. They have actually a problem with, in a way, let's call them maybe blockages, although I'm a bit reluctant to use that word, because whenever people hear about the word blockage, they think it's something serious, something that, this must be bad, you know, and they create some sorts of negative beliefs and they get stuck a bit, you know. So in a way, the bigger problem with manifestation is allowing to let go of resistance. Why wouldn't you think that having your own house and the way you would want to have a family, and if you want, we can also go in your career, about the career, but since you prefer this example, we can go to that. Why wouldn't you believe that is something that can actually become true? What is the main reason?
I guess that ties into what you said about letting go of a pessimistic mindset and going into optimism. Because I always thought of myself as a realist, but a lot of time realists are actually pessimists. And I'm trying to correct that thought pattern that I've
had for so long. Let's ask you something. What is realistic about a planet that just circles a giant fire, which is the sun, and they're both traveling at very fast speeds around the universe at the same time, while we have an experience that everything is still and nothing is moving? What is realistic about that?
I guess that sounds a little bit magical.
Right. I mean, Albert Einstein said, I mean, you can live with the belief that nothing is a miracle or everything is a miracle. So actually, miracles are the normal state of the universe. Miracles are when you understand a flower, when you understand the flower and how beautiful it is, you understand the miracle of life. I mean, yes, realism is just negative thinking and negative attitude, in a way, portrayed as something which is socially acceptable. That's basically it. So yeah, it's a vibration that maybe it's not something that you prefer. It's not something that you prefer to have reflection of. I mean, let me ask you this. Would you prefer to have positive miracles in your life or not?
I think the answer is obvious.
So why wouldn't you prefer to accept that this may actually be possible, or probable at least?
I guess I did have moments in my life, like what you said, like understanding a flower or just observing the beauty and the miracle of nature. But they're just not so consistent. They're very rare for me. So I guess I need to work on having a more consistent view of the world, so to say.
Well, I'm reluctant to use the word I need, because I need is almost like force. And when you work with manifestation, in a way, it's not ideal to have a forceful position. To use force as a way to a mechanism, you know, like I will force myself to feel very, very happy. that doesn't work, you know. It's even laughable if you think about it. You cannot force yourself to be at peace. You cannot force yourself to be super happy. You can pretend you are, but you cannot really run away from what's going on. But pretending, you know, it's like in the mirror. You look at the mirror, frowned, and you pretend, yes, this should be it. The mirror should smile back at me. I mean, it doesn't work. What's more important, in my opinion, is to look at what is right here and right now, because everything is right here and right now. What is? Because the mind and the levels of consciousness are a bit like a sky. The sun is always there, but sometimes there are some clouds that, in a way, shadow the sun. So when you clear out the skies, when everything is clear, that's why I said about inner peace, that inner peace is more important, because inner peace is something that you can measure directly in the present moment. If you have inner peace right here, right now, the sun has to be there. If you have inner peace right here, right now, joy automatically follows. Does it make any sense? And when you have joy, already the reality is magic. It's like a child. I mean, when you were a child, you were believing in miracles. Maybe sometimes you were believing too much, right? I mean, I remember when I was like a child, I used to live on the third floor of a building, and I was thinking, maybe if I really believe I could fly, I could fly. It's a good thing that I didn't try it. But when you are like a child, you believe in miracles. You see the miracles, and you usually are very, very happy. In a way, when you work with yourself, you go back more and more toward the state of a child. I mean, you have the quality of maturity, which a child doesn't have, but you can also, let's say, include joy and the happiness that a small child can have. At times, not all the time, at times. So let me ask you this. What it is that you feel and think right now?
I'm thinking that I need to reflect on what you said. And honestly, I'm feeling curious about trying this out and being more open.
Curiosity is good. I love curiosity, to be honest, because curiosity allows for more knowing yourself, allows for more introspection. And when you really search for meaning, you will understand that you were created in the image of God, of the universe. You are, in a way, a child of creation. However, you don't have infinite wisdom and infinite intelligence right now. You don't. I don't. So it's important to understand that nothing is an ultimate truth. The universe said, yes, you cannot have that. You are my child. I love you unconditionally, but you cannot have that. There's nothing like that. Actually, there is nothing as an ultimate truth that you cannot achieve or do if you have a good strategy. Nothing. What will matter more is the priority. What matters more to you? To have $1 billion in your bank account, or to be really fulfilled in your life, if it makes sense, you know? Because people chase all the time numbers and some other things that they could brag to other people, so they feel themselves better. But however, if you are already in a state of mind where you don't feel the need to brag to other people, where you feel good already on the inside, these things will stop mattering so much. And you'll be focusing on other things. People don't know how good you can feel only from the inside. How good you can feel. They just chase material things. I want these shoes. I want these cars. I want this blah, 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 blah. They give you some satisfaction for the moment, but they usually don't create lasting happiness. However, when you have something that is good, and you have from the inside the abundance, you can enjoy much more what you have right now, which is actually more important. To enjoy the food, not just to have some information that this should be the best food, but yet you don't enjoy it, if it makes sense. Much more important to enjoy it, to be in joy and to feel as good as possible than to just have some, you know, society accepted approvals about things. Society doesn't know. Society has no clue, actually. It just likes to create rules and to know, to tell people, okay, this is how you should be living. But look at facts, look at what happens. Most people are actually depressed, unfortunately. Most people don't know what they want. They think they want more money to be able to buy more things because they believe that will make them happy, but it doesn't really work. I'm not saying it's not good to buy more things when you can afford them, when you deserve them, but it's funny that when you get to a state of abundance from the inside, you will not need as many as you think you do. You'll not need 1,000 cars. That's just my opinion. It doesn't have to be your ultimate truth. Does it make sense?
Yes, it definitely does. And I resonate with some of the things you said about societal standards and the focus on having money and happiness equals money, which I don't believe in, but I had to train that out of myself. And I'm sure many people do.
Well, someone very, very sage said that most people sacrifice their time, their energy, and their health to make more money. And later on in life, they spend all that money to get back some of the health, but yet they cannot really get it, you know? They buy things to impress people that they don't like in the first place. So yeah, in a way, society standards are a bit foolish. So that's why you shouldn't be under the shackles of that matrix. And I can say it's a matrix. You should escape from that matrix. So I can ask you again. So what is it that you truly want for yourself? And nobody is watching. And even if they would watch, it doesn't really matter. You shouldn't care.
From a career sense?
Whatever makes you more exciting. More exciting, yeah. Makes you more excited.
I think it's just the simplicity of family life. I mean, I wouldn't want to let go of the luxuries that we have right now. Like, even going to the cinema and seeing a movie is its own way a luxury. But I would like the simple life with a beautiful house, a nice garden, a family. I guess that love and peace that is associated with that. That's my ultimate goal.
And having that would make you more excited and more happy.
Definitely.
So where is the problem then? You said because you said you have a problem experiencing those feelings. Can you feel them right now? When you think about it.
I can. I'm not sure. I mean, I can visualize them. I can see myself being happy, but I'm not feeling happy right now.
You just said definitely. So in that moment, when you say definitely, I'm sure you can connect to that excitement that you would feel if those were true. I'm sure you would connect. You can connect, right? There is a connection.
Right. I feel the excitement, but I don't feel the happiness.
So what would it take for you to feel that happiness? Or maybe what prevents you feeling that happiness? From feeling that happiness?
I think it's exactly what you touched on earlier, that I don't see a path to it, so I don't think it's possible. So that's why I'm not allowing myself to really feel it. But I will work on it and I'll do the exercise again.
So, I mean, in a way, it's like the mirror example. You frown on the mirror and looking at the mirror, how he's frowning back at you, you just say, I don't see a path to the mirror smiling back at me, if it makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it's easy to get caught in these exactly societal standards of what you need to do to get there. It's easy to get trapped in that when it's really very simple, as you said.
Trust me, success to the most successful people happens in a way like an accident. You cannot really schedule everything. You have fortunes and misfortunes. When you have the right vibration, you have fortunes. When you don't have the right vibration, you have misfortunes. Of course, there are some other factors, you know, because there are some people, maybe there are some, I would say, maybe some other forces. But by far the most important is manifestation that you're doing with your own energy, by far. I said earlier that, you know, Jeff Bezos was lucky, Zuckerberg was lucky, but they even admit it. They say so as well. Yeah, we were lucky. There are articles about it. Yeah, we are in a position right now because we are also lucky. I mean, we were lucky to begin with, but we are damn lucky because this happened. So, in a way, it is like that. You know, I cannot have a perfect formula for that because maybe it's a plan of souls and of spirits that I don't have to in this moment. And who knows what was the real reason for that, but like, shouldn't feel envy or something, you know. I mean, it's great that there are examples like, look, these kind of results are achievable by another person. That should be something that, you know, in a way, it gives you motivation. Someone says, well, look, achieve this. So it's possible. There was an example. Someone broke a record that was believed to be impossible when it came to running. And everybody was shocked. Oh, we believe this is impossible. I don't retain the specifics, but someone broke a record. Almost immediately, 6 or 7 more athletes broke that record. After they saw, hey, this is possible. So let me ask you this. Is it impossible for someone to achieve what you want, like have a nice house, have a nice family? Is it impossible?
No.
But why do you think it would be so hard for you to achieve it?
I guess it's tied into the fact that career-wise, I don't have a specific plan. But I think the key is to let go of that side of career because that's not a goal I'm looking for.
Maybe you will attract it. Maybe you will attract it. Look, right now you're participating in a course that has a potential payoff for you as well. Maybe you'll attract it. Who knows? But trust me, once you smile in the mirror has to smile back. Yet, when you're cautious and like saying like, look, this mirror is tricky. It's been frowning back at me for too long. I'm not sure whether it's possible for the mirror to smile back at me. What happens? You just keep your frowning vibration and the mirror will just give you back the frowning reflection. For the mirror to change, you have to change because what you believe, you create as reality. The universe only says yes. I am not loved. The universe says yes. I am loved. The universe says yes. Your wish is my command. And that's manifestation. That's how it works all the time for all the people. So it's your choice. What do you prefer on the inside? You frowning or you smiling? What do you prefer? Who cares about the result so much anyways? Who do you prefer to be on the inside? Someone smiling or someone frowning? I think that's more important. Makes sense?
It does, yeah. Thank you. Thank you a lot for the advice. I'll keep going at it and maybe come with additional questions if I have some in the next module.
So in a way, the process of continuing to work on this until we have some certainty that the process works, in a way, is a process of troubleshooting. Like, for example, Sorina, she noticed like, She couldn't get to a state where she feels more excitement. Maybe we can work some more on the next module, or we could take some more time after I'm finishing with the point that I'm currently having. So in a way, it's like troubleshooting, because in a way, you have to observe where does resistance comes from. Am I feeling the feeling of perfect abundance 100% of the time, or not really? For beginners, I think it's maybe not so easy, so to say, to have the perfect feeling of abundance from the first get-go, because they have habits of negative thinking, of negative emotions, of beliefs that are rooted deep down. And it's important to observe them so you can break more and more negative cycles. And start with introspection and meditation, which can be interchanged. So that's why I was saying that I'm not so such a big advisor of going for the guided meditations that you can find on YouTube. Those are okay to make you more comfortable with a state of relaxation. However, when you want to actually work on knowing yourself, you want silence. There was a saying that said, the word of God is silence. Everything else is bad translations. So observe in silence what happens on the inside. Maybe you can reach a point where you have less thoughts. Less and less thoughts until you can remain without thought for a lot of time. And then you can observe something else. It's not like you disappear. You just expand. You can observe your emotions better, your energy flowing in your body. You can observe your soul. Then you focus on inner peace. The more peace you have in your soul, the more you can observe your spirit. And the more you feel in joy. And the more you feel in joy, the more you enjoy the present moment. And the more, as a reflection, the universe will give you back more and more joy. The cycle of abundance. That's how it works. I mean, yeah, I still have some moments where I have some storms. But what I do is I observe and I allow the storm to pass, to show me, to teach me, to enlighten me. I don't do many actions. I just observe it. And I allow timing for moments of action when I have excitement, when I have clarity, when I have calm, when I have relaxation, when I have a lot of passion. And that's how I want to ground through action the circle of manifestation, through positive emotions, through positive energies. That's how I ground that energy into physicality. Make sense?
It does.
You have any questions, Trena?
Well, not directly on what you talked about, but previously you said something about dreaming, and that was a question, like a silly question maybe, that I had in mind, if we are also manifesting when we are dreaming.
Actually, in a way, the dreams are on at a level that is higher than physical reality. So in a way, when we are dreaming, we are closer to our spirit than we are when we are awake. So if you can think about it, when you dream, it's always the present, where you're much more connected to the present, and you actually manifest much faster. So in a way, dreaming is a template reality. Is if we can wake up in your dream and become conscious, you can actually slowly control the energy so you can receive the dreams that you prefer to receive at a much more, let's say, fundamental energy level. Because if you can control your dream, sure you can control also your reality, your physical reality. But when I say control, I'm not saying you just picture stuff and fuck, things are happening. And like, I mean, I'm not in that place and I don't know anyone who is in that position. I'm just saying you notice your state of being, your emotion. You calm down your emotion. You become more and more relaxed. And as you become more and more relaxed, the dream changes. Because the dream follows the emotion, energy. As you can say, as you can tell, you still have emotion, you still have energy when you are in a dream. These are the controlling factors. So you don't work with force on the outside. You just allow more and more relaxation from the inside and you receive more control. It makes sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Well, I also had another silly question, but you talked about inner peace, and I was thinking about religion and religious people, how they often feel inner peace because of their religion. So I was wondering if you think religion and manifestation are closely related.
Religion was something made in the past to control society. So in a way, God has no religion. I'm not saying religion didn't have its usefulness. It has some usefulness in the beginning because, you know, people were murdering each other and like someone said, like, look, I am the son of the sun. So you should obey me and you should start doing that and you should start doing that. So it had some usefulness in creating organization in those ages. However, as you can see, religion more and more starts to have less and less influence on society, especially when it comes to children, especially when it comes to young people. So in a way, I think religion did more worse for spirituality than it did good. Because if you look at Christianity, it's very, very common to have this attitude that you are a sinful creature, that you have to prove to God that you are worthy, so God in return can actually look at you and be graceful with you, something like that. So I don't think religion is a great place to start, to be honest, if you want to make progress in spirituality. Maybe I haven't answered your question. Maybe you can add some details to it.
Yes, sure. I was thinking more like prayer, and I'm not just talking about Christianity. I mean, religion in general, when they are, I guess prayer is, it's all right in every religion, or maybe when they are in their spiritual.
Yeah. How often have you noticed that prayer actually works? Not so much. I mean, I experienced with prayer when I was younger because I was under the influence of religion. And I said, like, I tried most of the manifestation tools and methods that I found to see whether they work or not. And what I found was prayer works only one under circumstance for me. When I was believing that God hears me, and I was believing in God that it will make my wish come true. So that was the only circumstance where prayer was working. Believing in God, that you have a conversation with God, and believing that God will actually listen to you and will make that happen. So we go back down to belief. Believing that this will become true because of whatever reason. And here the reason was that God himself will actually do this. So when you believe something, yes, that belief will eventually come true. But usually prayers, they are like begging. So how many times do you see a beggar become rich when they beg for money? If it makes sense. Because in a way, praying practices the abundance of luck. I want more money. I want more money. I want more money. Please, please, please give me more money. The right prayer, so to say, or the right tool for receiving more money is actually thank you for all the money that I'm already having. Thank you for all the money that I'm already receiving. If it makes sense.
It does.
I haven't found so many priests, you know, that actually can teach a correct prayer, so to say. I haven't found many priests, to be honest, that believe that God will not punish you, you know, for your sins. Which is absurd, but anyway, you know. Please go ahead with what you had in mind.
Yeah, I guess there are a lot of differences for sure, in especially in each religion, what they teach, like Christianity with sin and I don't know. But maybe the connection is that exactly that, the gratitude. Because I'm sure not everyone does that during prayer, but I've heard a lot of religious people showing their gratitude to God, whoever God may be. If God is the universe, then that gratitude transforms into good energy, I guess, right?
What I don't really like about religion is that they exaggerate humbleness. They exaggerate it. Like, look, in a way, I'm grateful, but in a too humble way. They're like, it's still very, very, very much connected to an energy and of emotion of guilt. Look, God chose that you should exist. God doesn't make mistakes. In a way, if God wants you to exist consciously, it means that God needs you for all that is, for the full reality to be complete. I'm not saying you become arrogant with that. You become balanced. You understand that you exist in the image of God, and we are all one with God, and you become, in a way, more and more happy just because you are. Because God didn't make like a mistake when he chose that you should exist. He didn't make a mistake. He or she, of course. It's you know, it doesn't care. It's everything. The infinite intelligence created you. Infinite intelligence who doesn't make a mistake. So you should feel proud that you are part of creation. Which is not exactly the vibration that I am noticing with religious people. There was a lot of dogma with guilt. If you go to a church, right? I mean, we are in Romania. There are a lot of Orthodox churches. And you see, so to say, saints who are all martyrs. And they're crying. And, you know, you get the impression like, look, these people are so close to God. And God loves them so much. And look how you should be. You should be so, you know what I'm saying? You should be suffering.
Definitely.
It's dogma. It's dogma. It's nothing in a way spiritually positive about that. Nothing spiritually. I mean, God wants what you want. He or she would prefer for you to be super excited and to become like him more and more, where you are become a conscious creator with God-like abilities. I think that what he or she would prefer, where you manifest your reality precisely. But we have time. We are infinite. We'll get to there. Any other questions?
Maybe a little follow-up on this religion subject. So do you think that religious people cannot get the full benefits of manifestation because of what they believe in?
Well, they get full manifestation anyway. They get all the time. Like I said, it's not whether or not you believe in manifestation that will make it or break it. Because manifestation works anyway. Reflection of reality works anyway. So in a way, they will get a reflection that is true to their core vibration, core actions, core beliefs. And yeah, I mean, I cannot say I envy the life of priests, if you think about it. There are some nice ones. I'm not saying, I mean, there are some priests that are happy, but I cannot say I have so much excitement for a life like that. Maybe some people would have an excitement for a life like that, but is it the reflection of that something that you would prefer? If you would prefer it, why not? But I cannot say I prefer it in most regards, to be honest. I learned about some priests that were actually very good givers. They were helping children, they were helping people in need. I heard about some cases like that. And I think that's very, very nice. If that's something they truly prefer to do, not something only for the eyes of people. I mean, it's funny, but, you know, I when I was young, I met some priests. And like I said, I mean, right now, I can say that I was unimpressed by most of them. I learned from other people that were spiritual, but, you know, but it was a very, very different thing. And some of them were able to perform miracles. And I've never seen a priest that was able to perform miracles. Never. I'm not saying performing a miracle is something that, yeah, you know, is like something that excites me the most right now. But I'm just saying this as a proof. Like, look, that person can have quite an impact on energy of reality. Quite an impact, if he can do that. And maybe I'll talk about an exercise for this module, because the intention of this module is to have the process of continuity until we get more and more solid reflections that can prove also to the physical mind that, yes, it's working. Yes, I'm feeling abundant when it comes to money and I start receiving money. Yes, I'm feeling abundant when it comes to love and I'm starting to receive the reflections of love more and more in my life. So you should allow to have some minutes in each day to observe how your state of being was most of the day. And I want you to become more and more and more aware of the negative states that you're experiencing, and more to decide that you just shall allow them to pass. I mean, when you observe them, you also give them energy, because energy flows where attention goes. So you don't need to do something. You just need to observe, because by observing, you pay attention. And when you pay attention to something, it changes. Slowly, but it changes. So you just notice whatever it is that you don't like. And the more you notice it, the more you observe it, the more, in a way, it changes into something positive. First, you start to accept it. Then you start to like, look, I have a choice. I can pick a different point of view. Then you have multiple points of views. And like, look, I prefer more and more this view. I prefer this perspective. I'll prefer to have that more and more. And then it becomes slowly into a habit. And like I said, the issue with most people is eliminating those frictions, those negative beliefs, those negative emotions, those negative energies that are manifesting right now and are habitual. So you just observe them more and more, and you change them from the inside out. When you have negativity, it's best to be neutral, to understand that, like, yeah, these are some things that might happen, but eventually good things are happening as well. So it's like the yin yang, neutrality when you're dealing with negativity energy. When you have too much excitement, it's good to work with relaxation, because too much excitement, if you don't control it, if you just jump up and down, you can become a bit anxious. So slowly integrate more and more the energy of perfect abundance. Let's call it troubleshooting. The small blockages like that you may experience, like you, Sorina, have been dealing with, if it makes sense. Just focus on the now, on the here and now, on the present moment, and don't imagine new challenges like, you, I should do that, I should do that. No, just pay attention to what's going on right now. Are you in that state of abundance? Are you in that state of receiving? Or you are in a state that is more toward blocking? If it's hard, just go to neutrality. And the more you neutralize it, the more and more you get closer to accepting the positive side and to creating a positive habit onto the positive side. So that's the exercise. It makes sense?
It does. I think it will be very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, any other questions?
For now, I think that's it for me.
Thank you. Okay, have a good day. And I look forward for the next module. All the best.
Thank you. Have a good day.